The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. A very scary report has come out from the Meteorological Association in Israel talking about weather patterns and what's been going on in Israel about with regard to temperature and rain. And just like one or two little snippets that came out of it, which are really scary. Over the last 50 years, apparently, the average temperature in Israel increased by 1 degree. And apparently, by the year 2050, the average temperature will increase by another 1 degree overall. And we understand that by the year 2050, they're going to be something like 13 raining days of rain every year. Isn't that scary?
13 as opposed to how many?
Well, as opposed to not a lot even to begin with. I'm just trying to I can't remember if I saw exactly how many rain days we have at the moment, but it's not a lot, but certainly not 13 anyway. It's quite a bit more than that. But this notion of having 13 days of rain every year is like, I don't know. It's like a little scary, I think.
Well, certainly we are living through very, very strange times weather-wise here in Johannesburg as well. We've just finished our third heat wave of the summer, and it has just gone December, which is incredible. And now yesterday temperatures were 33. It was a maximum of 33 in Johannesburg. Today's a maximum of 14. It is completely unstable. It's really all over the show. Very, very strange, indeed. All right, let's just talk about what is going on in Israel with the political situation. Prime Minister Netanyahu has requested that the Likud Central Committee delays its vote on cancelling Likud primaries. Why has he requested this?
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu is due to travel off this week to Lisbon to go and meet with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Apparently, Mike Pompeo is accompanying President Trump to the NATO summit in London, and he's going to be popping off to Lisbon today and tomorrow to meet with Portuguese politicians and dignitaries. And apparently, Prime Minister Netanyahu will be popping off to Lisbon later today or tomorrow to go and bump into Mike Pompeo and apparently talk about Iran with him. That's at least what we are led to believe. But of course, while Prime Minister Netanyahu is away, the Likud Central Committee had intended to meet tomorrow to discuss the issue of primaries ahead of what now seems to be almost certainly a third round of elections. Now, just so that everybody understands what the usual process is, that every party holds a system of primaries to determine who will be on the Knesset list. And all signed up members of the party are entitled to vote. And according to the number of votes that each of the candidates received, they are ranked on the Knesset list. And let's assume that your ranking is number 25 on the list, just for the sake of argument, providing that the Likud manages to win 25 seats in the general election, you will become a member of the Knesset. That's how it works, according to the rankings on the list. Now, there were primaries held for the first round of elections. Most parties actually did away with the primaries for the second round of elections, simply using the original list that had been determined during the primaries of the first round, with one or two little adjustments that were made. But generally speaking, they use that list. And now the proposal from the Likud is that that same list should simply roll over and be used in the third round of elections. And for Prime Minister Netanyahu, that's quite an important thing for him, because he wants to try to assure those people who currently sit in the Knesset, who are not doing a lot because we don't have a government, the people who currently have seats in the Knesset, that they are pretty much assured of having a seat in the Knesset come the next round of elections, and that they won't necessarily be bumped down the list because of primaries that will be held by the Likud. So he's very, very eager to try to assure those existing Knesset members that they are almost assured of a seat, and thereby try somehow to garner support from them. Of course, nothing comes for free. And so in return for him making sure that they have a seat, he will, of course, expect a little something from them. We all understand that very well. And apparently Netanyahu has been really campaigning around the members of the Central Committee of the Likud. They have to meet in order to agree and confirm that primaries effectively will be cancelled and that the existing list will be rolled over and used in the next election. And it seems as if, though, the Central Committee is quite minded to agree. It doesn't seem to be a big source of disagreement amongst the members of the Central Committee of the Likud. But Prime Minister Netanyahu is quite nervous to allow that Central Committee meeting to go ahead without him. And I think the main reason is because there is still this feeling in the background that there is going to be a little surprise and that a leadership vote may be triggered. And that the Central Committee may be called upon to make a decision as to whether the Likud is not required now in the light of recent events to actually vote again on who should lead the Likud into the next election. And of course, we do know that Gideon Saar has really gained some momentum in planning his leadership campaign. He's strongly calling upon the Likud to allow a leadership vote in order just to try to settle things in light of the Prime Minister's legal indictments that we've spoken about at some length. Prime Minister Netanyahu is quite eager not to have the leadership vote. And so I think that the reason for him asking the Central Committee of the Likud to delay their meeting is in order to avoid any surprises being sprung on him while he's away in Lisbon attending to national affairs, and he needs really to be somewhat in control of what's happening in the Likud. So it's not clear whether that meeting will be delayed or not, and indeed what may be discussed in that meeting. As I say, the only thing that we're aware of on the agenda right now is to cancel the primaries, but all of that could change. And I just have this little feeling, and I've certainly read some snippets in the press about it, but I just have this feeling that there are people within the Likud who, while they do wish to support Netanyahu for all kinds of different reasons, good and bad, are starting to understand that this is becoming a much more difficult exercise and that maybe there is now is the time for change.
Yeah, it's interesting that he is just fighting and fighting and fighting, and you just wonder if at any point he'll say, you know, I've had two elections, which I haven't won, and there are these indictments against me. It's clear that it isn't simple for me to retain this. I've been Prime Minister for how many years now? It's just time. Why can't he accept that maybe all of these things are indications that he should be stepping down and moving on and actually leaving a legacy that is largely very, very positive?
I couldn't agree with you more. Unfortunately, capitulation and compromise are not two words that Netanyahu knows very well. And in fairness, you know, we have to also be fair here to say that his lack of willingness to capitulate or to compromise has served Israel immensely well during the period of his prime ministerial role.
It's an interesting point.
Really, those qualities that we see now working against Israel have really worked very well for Israel over the time that he's been prime minister. So, you know, leopards don't change their spots. And it's unlikely that he's suddenly going to change and realize that he needs to step down. That's not in his nature. We've loved that from him while he's been prime minister and represented Israel on the international stage. But right now, we're not loving it so much.
Interesting indeed. The French Parliament has voted that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. This is an important step. What lies behind this decision?
So I do really love this decision by the French Parliament, because I think that while Israel and Jews around the world say this very loudly, that the anti-Zionist sentiment that we see expressed so freely and so politically accepted in a way that's so politically accepted around the world is really a modern day form of anti-Semitism. The French Parliament said it. by a majority of 154-72. It wasn't close. It was really incredible. Almost a landslide majority in the French Parliament. And it was just interesting to read how the vote went and how there was a lot of debate about different texts and the changes that were proposed. The motion was proposed by Sylvain Maillard, who is part of President Macron's centrist party. But actually, one of the real movers and shakers behind the whole thing is a French parliamentarian called Meir Habib, of course, a Jewish French parliamentarian. And he made a hugely impassioned speech to the French parliament, encouraging the lawmakers to support this anti-Zionism equals anti-Semitism motion that was presented. And it seems as if though his appeals really made a very big difference and really helped to sway those people who maybe were thinking that they were unsure about how they were going to vote. It seems like he really was very influential. But I think that this is a really, really important moment, not only in France, where we've seen masses of anti-Semitism, really unacceptable levels of anti-Semitism over the past years. I understand that something like 12 Jews have been killed because they are Jewish in France over the last 10 or 15 years. That's an astonishing statistic in this day and age. It really is. Very, very surprising that that actually goes on at the current time. And so I think that, you know, we need to really just have a look and see to what extent society is enabling this anti-Jewish feeling. And I think that the way that anti-Israel sentiments are expressed and the way that anti-Zionism is expressed is simply a way to dress up what is fundamentally anti-Semitism. And that's what the French Parliament has said loudly and clearly. I very much support their point of view because I think that that is exactly correct, that we as a society should not allow people to express the anti-Semitism in a way which is politically correct and politically accepted. It just is not okay. It doesn't mean that you don't have the right to criticize Israel. And I know Howard Saxton and I have had our moments in discussing this particular point. I very much agree that Jews and non-Jews around the world have the right to be critical of Israel about certain actions and certain things that happen here. Israel, like any other country, is not whiter than white, and it has its issues, and there is certainly a much to be criticized about in Israel. But I think that we have to distinguish between legitimate criticism of Israel and its actions and of its government, or whichever way you wish to put it, and the criticism which comes in the form of anti-Semitism. And I think that we as Jews need to be sensitive to it, and I think that people around the world need to be sensitized to it as well.
Absolutely. Anthony, I don't want to let you go before talking about this, because very, very close, certainly to my heart, my late mom unfortunately died from pancreatic cancer. And I see that Israeli scientists claim to have made a breakthrough in the treatment of that type of cancer, of pancreatic cancer. What are some of the details around this?
So this was an article that's recently published in a journal called Oncotarget about the treatment of pancreatic cancer. And I noticed that they've been very cautious to say, we have found, that they have not said, you know, we found a cure for pancreatic cancer. Mm. They've been very cautious to say this is a new treatment.
Yeah, because we've had terribly irresponsible statements coming out of Israel last year. In fact, I remember that.
There have been some crazy kind of claims that, you know, cures have been found for all kinds of things, which is really just headline grabbing. This one has been a little bit more cautiously worded, which I appreciate. There's new treatment that's been developed by Tel Aviv University, which apparently could induce the destruction of pancreatic cancer cells. And therefore, according to the tests that have been done so far, only on mice, and that is going to be expanded in the near future. Apparently, they have managed to eradicate the number of cancerous cells by up to 90% in a period of 2 weeks, giving daily injections of a small molecule that's called PJ34. And I think that this is fascinating because not only do people like your mom, Howard, and others die of pancreatic cancer, and it seems to take hold so quickly and develop so fast. The point is that it's one of the hardest cancers to treat, and that people who are diagnosed with it seem to have a very, very short life expectancy. And this treatment that they found seems to be immediately, it just takes hold pretty much immediately within 2 weeks, which I think is pretty astonishing. So there's still a long way to go in the work that they're doing. They're cooperating with the Sheba Hospital at Tel HaShomer, two particular scientific teams working together. They are planning to expand their tests to other animals and finally to get FDA approvals to also do human tests in the near future. They hope that that might take up to 2 years to get the funding together and to get the approvals. But I think this is very, very positive, and I think we've certainly got to watch this.
There's a South Africa connection to that. One of the researchers is in fact a South African, Talia Golan.
Is this the same, the Jewish Report on a few weeks ago? Is it part of the same research team?
Same research team.
Incredible.
Not realized that Talia Golan was a former South African. She's at the Cancer Research Center, Sheba Medical Center. But she's working with Professor Malka Cohen-Armon, who is the Tel Aviv University team at the Sackler Faculty of Medicine at Tel Aviv University. So some really, really good work being done by these teams.
Absolutely incredible. Time is 8:01. Anthony Rach, thank you. As always, we'll chat to you tomorrow. The Israel Report.